Thank you for doing that.
There you go.
Okay, good morning. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting in order. Present is Commissioner Van Beek, Commissioner Brooks, and we have a 10 o'clock meeting, and it's a meeting with the Cannon County Ambulance District. So we are going to officially put on our ambulance board hat and reconfigure ourselves for a brief period of time. And we now are going to be meeting as the Cannon County Board of Commissioners. And so I'll call the meeting to order under that. And roll call is, again, Chairman Holton is here, Chairman, Vice Chairman Brooks, and Vice Chairman Commissioner Van Beek. So with that, we are here. Let's deal with the approval of the board meeting agenda, notice and posting. So they have been given out, have they?
Yes.
All right, and they have. And I would entertain a motion to receive the Secretary's agenda notice, let's see, and recommend the agenda be approved.
So moved.
I'll second.
All right, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous. Okay, so with that, let's go into agenda item 4 and discuss and approve resolution 25-01, disclosure of potential conflict of interest and consent to continued representation. All right.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, Commissioners, so number one on the new business is part of the whole discussion that we have with Wilder Fire.
Okay.
And the reason that's number one on the new business is because Bill Punkney functions as the ambulance district attorney with White Peterson. He also functions as the attorney for Wilder Fire. And so because he worked on this contract that we have with Wilder, he just needs to have the board sign the piece of paper saying the whole conflict of interest. Like, we don't have a problem with him functioning as our attorney, and Wilder. Wilder has signed off that they don't have a problem either. And this is one of those instances where it actually works out really well that the same attorney represents both of us. So it streamlines things, and we don't have a problem with him functioning as the attorney both, but he would need that signed. And there's a couple other documents to sign, so I can just move into the discussion, and then you can just sign all of them all at once. So if that works for the board.
Nobody has an issue with that. We are in concurrence till we sign it.
I do not. Can I ask a question, though, Chairman?
Yes.
So last Friday, Chief Stoll came in and mentioned some partnership that needs to exist. You're going to cover that with these. Okay, perfect.
Right, Commissioner. Okay. Yep, that's what the topic is that I'll go ahead and discuss.
Very beautiful. Thank you.
So as you know, Wilder Fire does have a BLS ambulance. We have a single paramedic out there that responds with Wilder ambulance, jumps on board, transports in, and we do the billing for that. What we have found out is we need to have an agreement in place with them as far as their vehicles in order for us to be CMS compliant. And so the way to do that is we looked into it, the attorney looked into it, we met with Wilder Fire. What needs to happen is Wilder Fire needs to transfer the title of those two ambulances out there, because they have a primary and a backup, to the ambulance district, and then we basically lease them back to them. This is formality. It's something to get us to compliant. It does not change in any way how we function. There's no transfer of dollars. We're charging them, you know, a certain amount back and forth. So I think it's a dollar either way per the contract. But it's literally just to get us to compliant with CMS. It's something we discovered as we were going through some compliance stuff and realized because we share a license as TVEMS, those need to be under our, they just need to be titled to the ambulance district. So
what's CMS again?
Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, our favorite.
Yep. I figured it was some federal alphabet.
They're the rule makers. It's like the IRS. If they say to do something, you kind of got to do it. So it is a compliance thing. It's a something that's a little bit odd, but it literally is just to become compliant. We've functioned this way. It doesn't change how they respond, and there's an out in there if they, you know, it doesn't mean that we now own their ambulances and they don't get them back. It's just, kind of an odd deal, but we need to be compliant.
Okay.
So, and they didn't have, their board already signed, like they don't have a problem, it makes sense to them when we explained it. It's just, it's compliance, so.
All right. Are there questions?
I'm in favor, Chairman.
Same here.
Okay, all right. I'd entertain a motion then.
So we will need a motion for both resolutions, the consent to continued representation, and then also for the 2502.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and sign resolution 25-01, disclosure of potential conflict of interest and consent to continued representation.
I will second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and sign resolution 25-02, the agreement for transfer of Wilder fire ambulances.
I will second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, perfect. Okay, there's a third place to sign here.
Thank you for all the supporting documentation. It will be fascinating reading for our constituents. Yes.
Chief, do you want to sign the last page of this, or do you want me to sign the last
page? I think it was going to be, because I think Wilder's chair signed.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, so I think but you
can go ahead to sign. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Signatures, and that part's that. All right. So do we have general issues or policies or?
We're just going to, you know, talk a little bit about, obviously, the levy did not pass. We gained a little bit. Still didn't even break the 50% margin, which we thought for sure we'd at least do that. You know, I know it was still an uphill battle to get that supermajority. So I have visited with quite a few, several chiefs, a couple different consultants just shooting around ideas. I do think we need to go come back in May. I think we'll probably need to look at some different options of what does that look like in May, whether it's the amount, whether it's splitting it into a bond and a levy, whether it's a supplemental levy, whatever it is. We're just going through all of that just as discussion points that we'll be able to come back to the board with some recommendations of what we think, you know, what we should do. But obviously, need to be back on the ballot in May. I mean, everybody else is too. I've talked with Chief Tominski with Starfire. They're going to, I don't know who else in the county will. I know there's talk of others in other counties, EMS districts, possibly going on the ballot as well, because as I stated before, it's not just Canyon County paramedics that's in this situation. So we're all looking at funding issues. So but I do think we're going to have to, obviously, because there's not other revenue sources. So I just don't, I don't know that we can do the same thing again and expect to gain that supermajority. I just have gotten a lot of feedback, even since the election, and gotten feedback from people that voted yes to probably five people this week I've talked to that I've just run into publicly that recognize me. And the one thing that they do not like is that word permanent. That just gets them, which I understand. I totally get. Even people that have voted yes said, I didn't like that. I voted yes, but I have so-and-so that voted no because of permanent. So we've got to relook at that. And I do know that's when CUNA Fire had failed three times and they did split it into a bond and a much smaller permanent. I just think we're going to have to look at different options for May. We won't come back with the same. We just can't. I think that was still a pretty big, strong statement, no, with that permanent, even with the lesser amount. It was just, yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think we've entered school territory where we're going to be doing a two-year supplemental type levy, like forever kind of thing. And then I'm even to the point of entertaining the idea of asking what it looks like if if the force were to shrink and increase the pay for those that you keep, and if the public feels the pain for the decision that they've made, then that's where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told people my biggest fear of this situation is it's not going to catch people's attention until, you know, basically someone dies because of the response time.
Sure.
So other than that, the public has said what they've said through their vote, and so what do you do other than just give them what they've asked for?
Yeah,
they experience the consequences thereof.
I totally concur, and I've been contemplating what I would want said on the record. And I agree with Commissioner Brooks. I think that in my tenure, I have on different occasions taken the question of expenditures to the voters, and the voters have determined the direction of where I would go as a leader. And I think for the record, this board will have to do what we have to do to keep a quality functioning ambulance service operating. And I would rather have 8 or 10 well-qualified and fully functional ambulances going than to have 10 partially with little training and no expertise functioning on a lower dime. And so the voters have spoken, and unfortunately there will be fatalities because of this decision. Right on the record, news media, quote me. But we went out twice and asked. And so their $10 a year on their house is more important to them than their fellow citizens' life. That's their decision, whether they clearly knew that when they voted or they didn't. I can't speak to that. All our responsibility as a board is to do the fiduciary responsibility. We saw the shortage. We understood why it came about and where we're at. Some of those decisions were made long before this board, but it was this board's responsibility to show that shortcoming and to make the question made before the voters. And the voters not only sort of spoke, they clearly spoke, and so there will be repercussions from this, and what the fruit of this will be is that there will be people who reach out and call 911 on a desperate need, and there will not be services available because we chose not to fund those services. That's on all of us. That's on us as a society. And this board will continue to work with the director to have quality ambulance services at the level that we're funded. And we're not going to compromise in our quality or in our service or our personnel. And I agree with Commissioner Brooks that's how we need to look at that and go forward. And don't like it, but they've spoken, and so they shall receive.
Chairman?
Unfortunately.
I hear what the taxpayers are saying. They're tired of being taxed. I get that. If you look at that continuum, I don't know where Canyon County falls today, but there was a chart. Maybe our PIO who's sitting in the audience could help us look at that in the state of Idaho. Among the 44 counties, if you look holistically at the tax burden, Canyon County was way on the right side, meaning the lowest. So there, you know, the Speaker of the House throws us under the bus on a regular basis, but if you look historically at what Canyon County has done, that those two don't match. So there's that. The second thing I want to say is that it's unfortunate that all these supplemental levies, like with the fire, who I know, and there's no disrespect, they're intended, lots of respect, but for instance, Nampa Fire, they had And even 2 years ago in that legislative process, we're granted some autonomy where that funding mechanism was in place for them. I think that's at a different level than what Chief Stoll is talking about. And I appreciate the fact that the fire has been supportive. If we could isolate out, I think people don't know what to vote for. I think we have a lot of outer staters that it doesn't matter. And in this instance, I'm going to say it doesn't matter that it's a life or death issue. It is becoming not just no, but you know what? No, I'm not funding anything, even if it costs me my life. That's what the statement to me is coming across, and I'm not sure that's as fully informed as they would like themselves to be. The other thing that we can't stop saying is the effect of funding police and fire and those critical services with the kind of growth that we're experiencing with having 389 and 292 in place. That's another piece of that puzzle. I would also hope that there are still things that, given the think tank that's in here, there's either a different way to approach it on the marketing, or there's a different other options that we may not have explored. I would want to continue to look at that, and maybe on the professional side, those might be some dollars. There's certainly no lack of effort or try on Chief Stoll's part. He's limited in a lot of regards by state statute, and so he can only present so much. He's been on the radio. He's been on TV. You drive through the coffee stations. There's the brochure. So, I mean, the try is there. We're somehow missing that little link that's going to connect. And unfortunately, Commissioner Brooks has hit the nail on the head. This is going to be, we don't know who it is. It's Russian roulette. It could be anybody in this room. It could be somebody we love and care about. Could be somebody that, oh, that would never happen to me. And I was at the gym this morning. Two people were talking about the heart attacks. One of them had one in an ambulance after they didn't feel good. The other one, you just don't know. And the statement was, we're all ticking time bombs. That's true. So
I think the only glimpse of hope is that, like the chief said, Canyon County is not unique in where we're at with the funding. It's a statewide problem. The fire districts and fire districts, and I can't think of what I would want to call it, the municipalities that have their own fire departments, long time ago, close to two decades back, became very focused and very targeted about increasing their funding. And they had a very long-range plan. And in some, if not most instances, the fire personnel are paid at or better than the police. And they've been highly successful in that, but they had a multi-decade plan to do that. Ambulance hasn't. They haven't been that organized in any of our counties that I know of all 44 counties. And so this may end up being a state legislature funding issue, and that's what I'm getting to is the glimmer of hope. But they're also the same legislative body and leadership who gave us 389 and 292. So somewhere they're going to have to be skating in two different directions. But you lose too many of your loved ones because you didn't fund emergency services, and your political career and future might be hampered greatly. So I would recommend to the public that they do talk to their state legislators and see if there could be a legislative solution to a statewide deficit.
Chairman, I think that's such a good point because as at the forums when we pass through these primaries, at every single one, the accusation was from the speaker that I don't raise property taxes. No, but you did levy some of the highest Idaho state tax in the history in the last couple of years. And how that was allocated, we didn't get a say-so in that. And what happens is they pass laws that get passed down to county government. I'm not the original thought on this. I think you and Commissioner Brooks are really well-versed in this. But the county carries out state-mandated functions. And some of those are costly to the taxpayer in terms of implementation. Last year and for the past several years, there's been bills that have been passed that the state is not funding that. The county is funding that. We're providing services that the state says we have to. So with some of that surplus that they simply did not know how to manage all of it, I agree with you. We need to put out there, we're getting ready to do that with one of our jail issues, who are the local representatives that people should contact when there's issues like emergency management services that are critical for our community? And, you know, if we've got surplus at the state level, let's look at helping them out there.
Thank you.
No, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, that's a good discussion. I think there probably will be something again in the legislature this year. I don't know what it looks like. It was there last year. It failed. But everyone's aware of the problem. There's just not coming out of there. So, but yeah, so that's why we want to come back to the board with just some different options. But I agree with Commissioner Brooks. I think we're really close to the simple majority, which is what a supplemental like the schools are doing. And that might have to be, you know, what we do this go around.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm to the point of when do we start saying the quiet part out loud? You brought up the legislature. Commissioner Van Beek brought up the messaging. We have, when do we start stop giving away the farm to fire and their commingling of services, fire, and trying to dabble into the realm of being EMTs or paramedics? Like, the way I see it is they're going that direction because there are fewer and fewer fire calls to respond to. So to remain relevant, they've got to get into the health side of it. And that's why you see an older individual call, you know, because they've fallen or something, and what gets there first, the big red truck. And it has nothing to do with fire. I don't know if the general public understands basically how much they are getting fleeced by having Taj Mahal fire stations that are not responding at a significant level to fire, also having, I guess, EMTs at some level also there, but at a reduced level of service than what is required and provided by the Canyon County Ambulance District. And I don't know if we ever really solve the problem until those two are divided up.
I agree, and let's be very clear. An EMT on a fire truck compared to a trained EMT in an ambulance, they have neither the site or the facility or the equipment to do what an ambulance EMT does. They just don't have it. The ambulance equipment does. And so it's close, it's helpful, but it isn't the total solution that you would get with the ambulance. So the fire hasn't chosen to equip themselves with the same equipment that the ambulance has, and there's a reason for that, because their primary, number one responsibility is to attack and put out fires.
So, Mr. Chair, yes, that's a very complicated.
It is
very complicated. Yes,
and I think the point that we're bringing out and talking about is, again, I'm not anti firefighter. I'm not against them having good equipment. For now several years, the city of Greenleaf requires at city council meetings to have a fire report, and they have to differentiate between what a fire call out is or an assist call out is. The supermajority is assist call outs. Very few fires. Do I want them to proportionally be defunded to the level of fires? No, that would kill them. It would. But we're in a strange time that the intentionality of the funding for fire has become wildly successful, perhaps a little bit further than they ever intended it to go. And so we are at a time period that we need to look and see what is reasonable for fire and what is reasonable for ambulance. If they want to, if in the future they want to put this all together, I don't know. I'm not for that, or I'm not against it. I'm for giving the best services that we can give to the public for the dollar spent. And today, I know that it's way imbalanced, and it's out of proportion, and it's out of control. And I don't have specific direction to give other than it does need to be looked at. It may end up being a state legislature issue, because that would be the body that could come down into all 44 counties and say, you shall. Right now, it's not there, and we're living in a, you know, I remember in, good gosh, now I'm going to sound old. Let's just say, I'll remember in the past when the fire was woefully unfunded. They hit their mill levy cap, and yet they weren't even meeting their budgets, and they were laying people off and deferring equipment purchases. And they said, the heck with that. And since that time, they became wildly successful.
Do you think that has anything to do with the calendars? I'm just being silly. Okay.
So, our problem is, us three here, elected officials, we're sitting on the ambulance board, and we have a fiduciary responsibility. And so that's why we're having the open dialogue for the public to ponder about where we're at. And for ambulance, we're not in a good position. And there will be people that expire waiting on an ambulance that 2 or 3 years ago would have got there, but because of growth and the lack of funding, that ambulance won't be manned, may not be able to be manned, or it may not even exist proportionately what we should have been doing with growth. And so that's where we're at. Yep.
That's why we're looking at all options, yeah, to come back with.
And so stay tuned. I mean, if you're listening to this audio recording, we're going to go on a journey between now and the next election cycle in May, and there will be some dialogue and there will be some decisions that are made, because we aren't going to sit on our laurels and say, oh, gee, that's too bad, they said no. We're going to keep asking, because we know that it's going to matter to somebody's life out there, that we need to keep going and asking in a different way, in a different method. And I also encourage the listeners to contact your legislative representatives and tell them there's a statewide problem.
Yeah. And Chairman, I'm going to look at that. I think that's a great idea. And Aaron, can you put that together? Because I do have some of that wants to go out on documentation related to jail funding. But if you'd provide that to staff, then if people call or even on the website, here's people contact information. So an email and a phone number for them to get in touch.
Yeah, that'd be great, Aaron. Yes.
I might also add, during this election cycle, I had a lot of phone calls from constituents regarding what the ambulance district was trying to put through. And it seemed like a lot of the conversation around this topic was outsiders looking in that aspect of fire, not transporting. A lot of them didn't understand that Kenny County Ambulance District is a separate thing. They associated fire with the entity to transport, do everything. And in a lot of places within the U.S., that's what's being done. The fire station does control that. And so it seems like I've been having to discuss that narrative and talk them through of why they're actually presenting what they're presenting to help out. But the conversations were fascinating. I thought they were kind of eye-opening for the constituents to sit down and actually have conversations with me. But I received multiple phone calls of people not knowing that Kenny County Ambulance District is a separate entity and it's a needed service. They just assumed that fire was the main people that were on the job.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think it'd be helpful if you put together some statistics on, like, the number of actual fire calls responded to by
the various fire districts versus the number of calls that are health-related that the ambulance district responds to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be shocking.
It can't even be close.
Yeah. No, and again, we're not here this morning to cause an anti-fire issue.
Correct.
We're here that there's the system's broken, and the fire companies do not, nor could they at this point, participate in an ambulance service. And so we do have all of these people moving in, and they're used to different structures of organizations, and we don't have that. And so we have some explaining and educating to do, which is frustrating because we just live in a time that is so anti-tax that it's pathetic, and they're just willing to shoot themselves in the foot because they want to save $5. And I know somebody's going to say, oh, no, it's hundreds and thousands of dollars. To date, and correct me, commissioners, if I'm wrong, to date, most of the people who are talking about their property taxes, when we look up their specific property tax, which we are able to do, there is such a gross exaggeration that you question their level of competency. So we live in a time that it's really cool to exaggerate in a gross amount about your property taxes. And when you get down to the actual fact, it just doesn't substantiate.
And Chairman, yeah.
And that's frustrating being at our level.
Sure. And I can say that Commissioner Brooks took a lot of time with a group of constituents who were loud and grossly misrepresented the truth on what was happening with property taxes. So as he went through that model with them on, you can look up your parcel, your name, how much you've paid. And when Commissioner Brooks highlighted the amount in the reduction, they weren't satisfied. So he did the you know, logical question, well, how much do you want it to be? And the answer was in excess of what they were, their total tax bill was. So government provides services, and those services cost a portion of the taxpayers, the people that choose to live here. I was heavily crucified several years ago for the statement that we have choice. There's always choice. This is an area of rapid growth. If people want to live in a slower pace, smaller town, those still exist in Idaho, and they're not that far away from Canyon County. And I'm not saying we're not welcoming, but I'm saying if we're going to be able to deal as a government organization, let's start with the facts. I had that faced in my own campaign. I'm not here to make this a political statement, but people can say anything. The reality of the job is people need to get the information before they go to the keyboard and put stuff out there that, it might sell the news, but it sure stinks when it burns.
Part of my concern is for, and why I bring up the comments, is last I heard for the city of Caldwell, you know, their fire department was looking to add more EMTs or add the EMTs, and they don't have them. I'm not sure, but they're...
You know, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, they're all EMTs. Like, they, all of them are EMTs. They were looking at possibly adding paramedics to their...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
they are all EMTs and have the equipment to function as EMTs. Nampa Fire has paramedics. Caldwell Fire has a couple of paramedics, but they're not functioning as paramedics like the Nampa Fire one, too. So they're looking at, in the future, moving that direction.
And that's where my comments for, like, the taxpayer doesn't necessarily understand the level of duplicitous services that exist across the county, or that their city leaders are entertaining the idea of, you already have an ambulance district that will serve the constituents of Caldwell, and now, you know, your city council and your mayor or whoever is entertaining the idea of adding another second layer to that. So your taxes are going to increase one way or the other. Why is it okay when it's attached to a fire department rather than the actual ambulance district that is their singular focus to do their best job to help you in your time of need.
Well, you can have all the best EMTs and paramedics on site that you can have. If you don't have good transportation, it is a wasted dollar and a wasted expectation of
understand that
of solving your need. And so that's what we're dealing with. And enough said.
I think so, Chairman. I mean, we're here to just, this is a good board. It's good leadership. Our ambulance district, I know that we're just public servants, public leadership. We're running a business. It's all of that. And we're doing the very best job we can with to honor the acronym of transparency, respect, to unify, provide service, and do it in the spirit of teamwork.
True story. So I guess stay tuned to some of these other ideas that we're going to have coming up about a May election and what some of the potential could be. So,
Aaron, thanks for the feedback, Chairman. I appreciate the feedback, Aaron Williams, for that's helpful feedback to us. They're going to maybe say things to you that they may not say directly to a commissioner. You're fielding phone calls on our behalf. You're doing a great job with getting messages out there. So,
thank you.
That's all we have.
Well, that was enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have any other.
Okay.
Any other business?
I
don't have any. All right, and there's no need for executive session. So, if nothing else, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We are adjourned.